Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 409. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How about yourself?
I cannot argue. As I noted, I did a little... this is a Columbus Beer Week, so I did a little... tasting down at Wolf's Ridge Brewing for their double dry hopped extra pale ale called Snow Cone. So yeah, we'll get to that review a little bit later in the show, but that was nice doing a little bit of research ahead of time. I am just going with a glass of water now. My beverage has been given away earlier in the evening here. So, yeah, and it's time to talk some wrestling. And I guess the easy thing to talk about is the main event and the co-main event that both involve Jinder Mahal.
Yeah, they bookended the show with Jinder Mahal, and it was what it was. This is the direction they've chosen. He's the guy of the month right now. I don't know if I can honestly say I believe that he's proven enough to continue on to next month. That the match he had with AJ Styles wasn't bad, but what was anyway decent about it was all AJ Styles. You know, because AJ Styles does dives. Who's going to be doing the diving on Sunday?
Oh man, not Jinder Mahal and not Randy Orton. There will be no diving in that match.
No, I mean, I guess the Bollywood boys are gonna have to do the dives for everyone in that match. But no, yeah, I'm not. They've done what they could do. They made their choice here. They've done what they could do, but I am not looking forward to that on Sunday. I mean, when the guy can only have a halfway decent match at best with AJ Styles. With Randy Orton and Randy Orton style, it's just not going to work. I hope they prove me wrong, and I'm pleasantly surprised. But yeah, as of right now, I don't have high hopes for this Randy Orton. Other than one match with AJ Styles several months back, he's not on a hot streak at all.
Oh, well, I mean, Orton's style at this point is what it is.
Like, he's not going to change.
Yeah.
He made that abundantly clear.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's kind of funny just how, you know, I guess a lot of the wrestlers kind of adapted to age and changed at least a little bit. But with Randy Orton, there's just no changing. It works, I suppose. Like, it is certainly not like gonna get me to ever list him in like a match of the year or anything like that.
it served him well. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I truly, on house shows, I've had other wrestlers love wrestling Randy Orton. A Randy Orton style match is just perfect for a house show. But when you need to bring it up tempo, not that he hasn't had good to great matches on pay-per-view over the years.
Right.
But he's really, since coming back from injury last year, he's been working at his own pace. Except for maybe just one match on SmackDown with AJ Styles, he hasn't had anyone. Yeah, he really hasn't had anyone pushing him.
Well, and he really just has, you know, it's to his credit and detriment, I think, at the same time, that he's made his finisher so out of nowhere.
It has
probably hindered the quality of matches that he has. Because, I mean, and even tonight was another one where, I mean, they find some fairly creative ways for him to hit that in almost every match. It's kind of surprising, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, at this point, yeah, I mean, his matches are, again, it's very Jake the Snake Roberts-esque. You wait for the RKO, you wait for the DDT, and, you know, you get it. And once again, so in that way, Randy Orton matches are smartly laid out. You know, someone who, you know, an old school wrestler could absolutely tell you why Randy Orton is just, you know, if you could create a wrestler from the ground up, it would be Randy Orton. You know, you could see why people would say that, but when Randy Orton isn't being pushed by a high caliber opponent, it's not the most exciting. You know, the body of the match is not the most exciting thing for the viewer.
I agree. Because, I mean, he doesn't really, he's one of those guys that he doesn't really carry anyone per se. You know, he can do his end of the business, but he can't really carry anyone else to a great match. Like, the other guy on the other end's always kind of more the reason for the match.
Right, yeah.
And I guess I agree that Mahal doesn't seem like he's that good that he's going to be able to make up that deficit.
No, on the microphone, he's been fine, but in the ring, he's not making, he's not proving himself. He's been, tonight was the perfect opportunity for him to have a great match, or even just a really good one, and it didn't happen, especially not on his end. He doesn't have it. And I don't see their styles mixing, I'm sorry, I'm just getting a little. I keep repeating the same point.
Right. We keep on coming at it at slightly different angles, and that's causing us to go back into it. So I think we could just go ahead and keep on moving along.
We're not expecting an all-time classic here.
Point already belabored.
What?
Oh.
I guess going into Backlash, what I'm most maybe disappointed in is the build-up to Kevin Owens and AJ Styles. I'm just not feeling their motivations here at all. I just feel like, you know, AJ Styles never really had a solid, you know, face turn. He's just back to being a face. He's just back to being a face again. They've had very little physical interaction.
They've certainly been hurt by the transition of the brands there. They kind of got lost a little bit in the shuffle since Owens still had to deal with Jericho after the pay-per-view. So it took him an extra week to get into the feud, and I don't think that that helped at all either.
No, it really didn't. Yeah, it's just, there's something missing here. Well, obviously, Kevin Owens is the clearly defined heel, and he's doing a good job at that, but I think it's more on the AJ Styles character side of things. It just doesn't feel like a big match. And it should, especially on this card. Something needs to make up for, Randy Orton and Jinder Mahal. the lack of months for that match. And while Kevin Owens and AJ Styles, once we get there, absolutely should have an outstanding match.
Yeah.
It just doesn't feel like a hotly anticipated match. At the same time.
Yeah, I agree again. It's hard to put it in any other terms. Like, because they didn't even really wrestle on the indies that much, if I'm not mistaken, or if at all.
No, they. If it was some, it was, obscure thing like a PWG show in the mid 2000s, an IWA Mission Mid South show, or what have you. Definitely was never Ring of Honor, and never, AJ was done with Ring of Honor by the time Kevin Steen was a regular there.
Right. So, It is kind of interesting that hasn't gotten more hype. And I guess to the contrary of the other match, like, it's just like, oh yeah, this will be awesome. As long as they give it time, I expect that match to be awesome.
Yeah, I do. It should be excellent.
But
they should. Go ahead.
No, and I guess there's another point to echo for you, though. But Styles hasn't changed. Like, he kind of still acts like a cocky heel, even though they want people to cheer him now. Like, he hasn't really changed his delivery almost at all.
No, he hasn't. I mean, when he was a heel, the majority of the crowd still cheered him. But now it's... I mean, whoever people cheer when the bell rings, kind of doesn't matter there. But it's just in the build up. It doesn't feel like these two have that much of a personal issue with each other. I cringed when Kevin Owens, took out AJ Styles' knee with the U.S. Championship. Last thing. Another match where they're gonna working the damn knee. This company does not need that. It's I don't know if they're trying to force some guys to slow down by making them work a body part more, but does it have to be the knee every time? Can we do something else?
They can work over the hand.
Yeah. A good hand injury. A good hand submission. Hold.
It gets all the kids out of their seat.
Yeah, but no, he said, that part didn't make me excited for it, because if they're going to do a long... Because if Kevin Owens is right there with Randy Orton when it comes to those chin locks or those... Or just laying on somebody and just pulling on a body part. He'll lay there and listen to people chant boring, and then just lay there some more.
I guess I always feel like he has enough movement in his matches that I kind of forget about that aspect for some reason.
Well, he's always. He's always moving his mouth the whole time, and that does help. that does help a lot, but they really need to have a bell-to-bell, exciting match. So, working in an injury angle, possibly did not, you know, it does not make me excited.
I mean, we'll see if that comes into play or not, I suppose, on Sunday.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
I guess I didn't think too much of it when they did that. I just thought that it looked like a really terrible hit was what I had a problem with.
Yeah. You know, swinging the belt at someone's knee, that's not gonna do anything.
He was going for a springboard. Do the old pull the leg down, face on the apron trick, and we all go home just hunky dory here.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I guess the other thing that is on SmackDown that they gave some time to was the ladies again.
Yeah, the ladies got a lot of time, the talking time. I did like Becky Lynch and James Ellsworth bringing their Twitter feud to the TV. Yeah, that's an entertaining part of the act. You know, plus with James Ellsworth just being James Ellsworth, you could have him get bounced around by the ladies. He's not going to lose any tough guy
credentials.
credibility. Yeah, so you can do right. that. And then it was unorthodox, but I got a kick out of the Naomi Carmella match. It felt like, in some ways, an older school women's match with older traditional women's spots with, you know, screaming and it's the, you know, I don't know. I just got a kick out of how Carmella was acting every time.
Oh.
You know, every time she took a kick or whatever from Naomi.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me. Although they did the smart thing and gave Carmella the win, but
yeah.
it reminds me of Peyton Royce and Billy Kay, where a lot of times Carmella is more talk than action. But at least in this match, she got the big win, so she can.
Carmella got the win. That was pretty effective. Good physicality with everyone involved. No, I like what they did.
Yeah. Yeah, everything worked out well in that match. So, I don't know. I guess, that's another one that'll be interesting. I suppose that just because Carmella got the win, that she'll end up being the next challenger for Naomi after this six-person shakes out this Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not totally sure which way they're going to go. Obviously, Charlotte is still, you know, saying that, you know, she wants the title. She wants her bare man one-on-one match with Naomi. You know, what does Becky Lynch think about that? You could still do a you could come back with a multi-man way match with most, if not even all the women for the title. You know, kind of going forward.
That is a possibility. I usually expect the champion to retain in that situation, but
all right.
Was there anything else? I mean, SmackDown has the pay-per-view, so I'm trying to think of what other matches they have. Because we have world champion, the tag team titles.
Yeah, I'm slowly coming around on this match. know, obviously, just in time. The Fashion Files tonight, I thought this was the best one they've done. There were a number of genuine laughs there. And then when, you know, they had the match and they beat the Colognes. And then I really, really liked Usos. So I thought that was... The Usos promo was really, really... That felt authentic. That felt like them. It felt like it didn't feel scripted at all. It felt like this is how they talk. This is how they roast, you know, people. This they're their friends or people they don't. This is how they come at people. And I gotta kick out.
Yeah, they really have had some fire to say the least with this new gimmick, and I'm all for it. Like I guess I've always been a big fan of theirs, so to see them have something of a renaissance, I mean, I think you know, injuries have unfortunately played a very large role in why they haven't always been consistent. But they've been injury free for a while, and I mean there still are some good teams on SmackDown. Like I guess I still don't feel like, because they fought with American Alpha, but I always felt that the matches were a little lacking. Like I feel like everyone involved could have a better match.
Yeah, I mean the match where the title changed, I remember that being very good. But yeah. They could do better. Not sure if they're going to get the chance anytime soon. It seems like American Alpha has definitely been given up on for the time being.
Yeah, they pooped in someone's
cereal. Breezango is just a placeholder for the New Day.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. Although they didn't have a Rusev segment tonight, did they?
No. And they promised that last week and then didn't mention him at all. He had to fire off a tweet about, you know, he was watching his Nashville Predators, so he'll catch us all later.
Good on him. I'm watching his Nashville Predators right now too.
But yeah, something must have changed there. Maybe someone finally figured out that if you have Rusev on the show demanding his title shot at Money in the Bank, people are going to figure out that
Jinder Mahal's
not winning on Sunday.
Yeah, it is a go home show, so it would be smart to concentrate on the feud at hand on top of everything else there. So. But I mean, I guess I think that was a good thing that that they didn't have a segment for him.
Yeah.
Let that happen afterwards. We got it. Everybody loves Rusev more is a wrestler anyway. So it's a win-win for everybody. So anything else on SmackDown, I guess, then, since we got through the Usos and the Fashion Files, because yeah, I mean, both of them were really really good. Like the Fashion Files thing's cracking my shit up.
Yeah, so. I mean, the only thing is, you know, notable is, you know, what was on the show and who was on the show. They are really, really, at least for this one, getting into the idea of using, of actually having Nakamura on TV very sparingly.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting. Just because it's usually someone like Brock Lesnar who gets that kind of treatment. And this guy... I mean, he's at the shows, isn't he? Or is he?
Yeah. They throw him out. They have him and, I believe, for the last 4 or 5 weeks, they've had him and Dolph Ziggler doing the dark match after 205 Live.
Oh. Wow, you really gotta be hardcore to see that one, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they're in the John Cena spot. I guess that's how highly they think of Nakamura. People are gonna sit through 205 Live just to see him wrestle.
I would sit through 205 Live to watch him wrestle.
I would too. So yeah. So I mean, without ever wrestling a match on main WWE TV, he's one of the most over guys on the roster. It really is pretty incredible. It's wrestling in 2017. But yeah, no. I think it's good. Yeah, you know, Ziggler was good tonight. Yeah, at least a little bit of a reminder that he used to be somebody. But you know, I think him and Nakamura sure should have a good match. They've been wrestling every night at the arenas. They should have everything down pretty well. Obviously, it's going to be a showcase for Nakamura. It's going to be an easy crowd for Nakamura in Chicago. It's probably the thing I'm most looking for. It's definitely the thing I'm most looking forward to on Sunday.
It should be a good one. Because I still have a lot of faith in Ziggler's wrestling abilities.
It should be good. Again, I do faith in Ziggler as a wrestler. Yeah, again, you're going to have a crowd that's going to be ridiculously pro Nakamura. He could go out there and do, that weird deal he did with Samoa Joe and NXT where he played Got Your Nose or played Pat or... He could pretty much go out there and do anything, He could play Patty Cake,
Yeah, I hope he doesn't.
He could not touch Dolph Ziggler for five whole minutes and just stand there doing his wacky movements, and once again, he would not lose that crowd.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised at how well it's translated to the WWE, at least at this point. We'll see how things go moving forward, but they're certainly treating him like something special, and if they keep on doing it, it will work. I mean, it has worked for Brock Lesnar.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. When the WWE's done it right, they have done it right, and there are a number of examples.
Yeah, he does not have to wrestle on TV. I wish they would figure that out with more people. At least on SmackDown, when you only have the 2 hours. I get it with Raw.
Well. Yeah, plenty of time to fill on Raw. Not as much time to fill on SmackDown. So, yeah. And somehow we still find to talk about these shows equally on our varied broadcast.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I guess that was the last thing on SmackDown. I don't know how I could forget about that one. Because that may have my attention. Another project that Shahid and I might do might have my attention at that time of the evening. We'll see. Raw, I guess we can move on to. And Raw had some immediate fallout from the Braun Strowman elbow shattering, which may not really be elbow shattering and just a little bit of old-fashioned, old-timey fake news.
Oh, yes. They had me going for a while. I thought that, you know, once again, I thought it was legit. It seemed weird that the timetable went from 4 to 6 weeks to 6 months. But, I mean, it's things like that have happened before. But then it's,
yeah, it's not completely unheard of just because, like you said, they always say it, when you get inside there, you know, you never know what you're going to find.
Right, yeah.
So, maybe they found
but
something.
According to Dave Meltzer, it's looking more like they're lying to keep his return, his more imminent return under wraps, which is fine. That's within the bounds of pro wrestling. Yeah. So but right now they, you know, they may be, you know, switching some things around if they expect him back by SummerSlam. So you gotta get someone else in the spot for Great Balls of Fire. I think they're going about it the right way. I like the five-way match. I think go ahead.
There hasn't really been any hierarchy with those guys in a little bit of time. You know, Reigns has certainly gotten some of the top billing, but so have the other guys in different ways. So I guess it'd be kind. It would be, again, shocking to me just because of how Reigns has pretty much won all the matches. If he weren't to move along, but it would be fun to see a lot of those characters take on Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I think that any one of those guys against Brock could be really good and could do really well with them. I think they're gonna probably, you know, save Roman Reigns for later, so I doubt it'll be him. But from there, right now, Bray Wyatt is just in a really, really bad spot right now. And I shouldn't even say it like that, because, well, it's not all his fault. Some of it is his fault, so yeah, I'm never excited to see him anymore. So I don't. But then the other three. All right, let's rock. You know, let's rock with them against Brock. I mean,
yeah.
Samoa Joe. I'm sorry.
I was just gonna start going through one by one. If you want to start with Samoa Joe, that's good by me.
Samoa Joe, I mean, obviously people have been talking from the days from before he signed with WWE that, you know, he'd be a perfect opponent for Brock Lesnar. And I don't disagree, but I don't know if not. I mean, granted, we're going into a pay-per-view on Sunday where Jinder Mahal is challenging for the WWE Championship, so nothing is too soon or too early or, you know, or two out of the blue, so it could certainly be Samoa Joe. Considering the fact that Joe's pay-per-view record at this point is only 1-1, I'd like to see them build up Joe more for a match with Brock Lesnar.
No,
but it doesn't mean that match wouldn't be all kinds of awesome if it happened, you know, in a month and a half either.
Right. Yeah, that is the interesting part, I guess, of the Joe dynamic, is that it is a match that would look good, but Joe's badassery really needs to be finished off at some point. And I'm not sure that You know, Seth Rollins is certainly a guy that, you know, he's another one that would be interesting with Brock. I think that they had good matches previously, because didn't they have at least a...
No, actually no.
They not have any matches?
I think they only had one real match against each other, and that's the one where The Undertaker interrupted and kicked Brock Lesnar in the balls. And they weren't having because Seth was still playing. Brock was a tweener at that point. This was about 2 years ago. Brock was basically a tweener, and Seth was playing Chicken Shatil. So yeah, it wasn't clicking that night. But now Seth, as a dynamic babyface, with all his big moves against Brock as a clear heel. You know, whether Brock gets a lot of the cheers or not, that doesn't matter. But if as long as he's, you know, in the build up and in the match, you know, acting as a clear heel, they could have an outstanding match. So and so I do think that I would give, if there's a favorite at this point, I would give it to Seth.
Right. Yeah, he certainly seems to be pushing in that direction since they've really, I do think the crowd's finally gotten behind him, after
yeah.
The...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It took a while, but,
Yeah, no, I mean, the match with Triple H that, you know, the polarizing, long-ass match he had with Triple H, it did its job. You can't say it didn't.
yeah, it took a really long time for it to happen. Much longer than it should have taken.
Yeah.
That was a circuitous route that did not need to be explored. So... he does seem like the most likely of the people outside of Reigns to me. And I'm trying to think of who the other guy was in the equation that...
Finn Balor?
Oh, yeah, Finn Balor.
Finn would be interesting. They definitely pointed in that direction. They've done a good job with him. I almost feel like they're getting him over so much as just regular Finn Balor that it's almost like they don't need to go the demon route. Or as much.
Yeah.
Because they really overdid it and oversold it going into SummerSlam.
Yeah, I guess it's just all in how they want to present the character. I mean, if they want to either get rid of the demon part or just have it for some other time.
Yeah, I mean, and a match with Brock Lesnar would certainly be the time.
Oh.
Yeah, it was certainly what... So, you could go there. But, once again, just like with Joe... I wouldn't mind him simmering a little while longer before you go there. Although,
yeah, agreed.
Yeah, I mean, although he did do the clean job on Monday to Ring, so.
Oh yeah, my expectations of him getting it at this time is somewhere between zero and none.
Well, I actually got that would be my mindset of booking that.
Oh, yeah, you need to lose. So he's a candidate. Fair enough. But he didn't lose to Seth Rollins, so I'll stick with that. And I'm trying to think of the other stuff on Raw now, just because I was half asleep watching this show. I'll admit, it was not my strongest viewing of a Raw. Oh. I did see you tweet about this, so I guess I'm going to have to start there. I didn't realize how bad the Alicia Fox Sasha Banks match was going to be until I watched that thing. And yeah, that just was not good at all.
That match wasn't good, and it brought up. They did. They had to do. Throw an explanation for them being having a match this week was that Alicia Fox's shoulder was up last week.
Yes.
She legitimately could not lay still while she was being pinned last week. Just think about that for a second. Let that run through your brain. And then, after she hit, then they had another match. She hit, Sasha with multiple stiff kicks. And for all this, she was rewarded with a clean pin.
Yep.
She's really bad. I don't like ragging on ring work too much because God knows I'm the most uncoordinated human being whoever walked the planet. But it's just so glaringly bad here.
She's like Enzo, but of the women. She's like Enzo, but with the women.
Oh yeah.
Except she's had even more time, and she's still that sloppy.
Our good friend and one time Stunt Granny contributor Steve Williams thought about becoming a wrestler, and actually enrolled in the Ohio Valley Wrestling Training School. This would be around 2006. I hate telling this other people's. Actually, he told you the story of taking a crossbody from Alicia Black. That's where I heard the story.
Yeah, it was just. Oops. Oh yeah, it was just a couple episodes ago. So just go back and listen to it if you haven't.
Yeah,
heard.
Yeah, please go back. It was a special edition.
But
a very special edition. But yeah, that's how long she was training. She was doing moves such as a high cross and all the basic stuff 11 years ago. And she can't deliver her finisher without clanking her heel against the back of her opponent's head in 2017.
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's mind-boggling.
It's been a while. So I knew that you disliked that match, and when I got to it, I'm like, whew, wow, okay, moving along after that dumpster fire.
Who's cornflakes is Sasha pissing? Damn. Maybe Emma's injury, something's had to be moved around. If Sasha was going to be put in a feud with Emma, so Alicia Fox is the only, heel available for her to feud with while Bailey and Alexa Bliss are feuding, and you don't want to do Sasha and Nia Jax again. So I guess I can get that. So you guess I get why they want these. The booking brain of the logical creative booking brain says, okay, I get why you want these two to have like a competitive back and forth view to fill time. But then you actually watch Alicia Fox try to have matches at this point, and it's just so bad.
Yeah, it is definitely not good at all. So, yeah, don't know why she got rewarded. The women's division, you know, the other matchup there, you talked about it, Bayley and Alexa Bliss. I do really like Bayley being in an Extreme Rules match to prove some type of toughness.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. I like what they did. I like that. I loved Alexa Bliss. I thought Bayley fired back really well. Why do you gotta put something on a pole, though? can't just be an Extreme Rules anything goes match.
Or just even just a kendo stick match. Just have them all over the ringside. So that they're easily accessible.
Yeah, something like that. So, yeah, pole matches just never work. Maybe these two will have a good one. They'll have a good match built around the drama of the climb. Well, considering it's Alexa Bliss in the match, that she'll actually will like have to really, really, really climb. Climb that pole. It's usually the silly part is all most people have to do is stand on the top rope, or sometimes it takes even the middle rope, and they can reach the thing hanging down.
Yeah, that will certainly not be the case for Bliss. Although I don't think Bayley's kind of tall, actually.
Yeah. Bayley's I would say it's deceivingly tall, yeah. So, and everyone looks tall standing next to Alexa Bliss. So, yeah, in general, it's a good idea to put Bayley in a situation like this. But again, they might be getting a little, it might be as Wade Keller would say, too cute by half by adding the. Can a pole element.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll see. It might end up being really good. They might have a really good pole.
Yeah, we'll find out soon enough. I guess because I didn't like the other end of the women's, I should bring that up because Bayley could use the toughness in more of a, her character moving along and progressing past the gee golly I got here situation. Because, right. Yeah, she's kind of been there, done that now. So, I think it's all good. Even if she ends up losing the match, I think that the idea in general is a good one.
Yeah.
Just before Banks and Fox came on, though, the Hardy Boys came on.
Well, if I'm going to be fair and I'm going to trash Alicia Fox, my God, these two longtime veterans, Jeff Hardy and Sheamus, they had a bad match. They had no chemistry at all. Sheamus seems bound and determined to injure Jeff legit. Jeff was, in gearing towards the worst of himself as a worker, especially as an aging worker trying to do all the things he did, 15, 20 years ago. Just not good.
Yeah, I occasionally forget that they're basically the same age as I am. It's just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to guess that's a little bit harder to do now.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, but yeah, no, yeah, it just, It just wasn't any good. Sheamus again, you know, very stiff. I don't necessarily want to say careless as much, but definitely very stiff. The finishing sequence was Enzo Amore level bad, with, you know, Sheamus whiffing the first attempt at a bro kick on Matt, and then having to do it again, which made no sense because the kick was supposed to be kind of, you know, on accident the first time. So yeah, that didn't help. And Jeff's twist of fate has never looked the greatest.
No, it's always been a weak spot of his game. Matt Hardy does a much better twist of fate.
Yeah. When it's Matt's twist of fate into Jeff's swanton, that's a great finish. Jeff in singles matches, that part gets a little rough. And after running the table last week, Sheamus and Cesaro back to just losing again.
Yeah, I mean, they tried to build in an excuse for him, but it's just like, you guys aren't helping at all here, guys.
Yeah, no. They really need to show a vicious streak. I don't even know, because you've gone to the point where you've turned Cesaro heel now.
Yeah, full
so
on heel.
If they don't win at Extreme Rules, what the hell do you do with them now?
You hide them just like Gallows and Anderson.
I guess so.
Yeah, I mean, I got nothing. Like, they've changed the look up a little bit. Like you said, they turned Cesaro heel full on. If you're not pulling the trigger, why did you do that?
Yeah, I guess, once again, because a lot is going to depend on where WWE is at in their negotiations with Anthem about getting the rights to the broken gimmick. Because the Catalysts, I imagine losing the tag titles is likely going to be the catalyst for the oncoming of the broken gimmick in WWE.
Right.
So if they're to that point yet, then I guess you can go. You couldn't have a Sheamus and Cesaro run for a little bit with it, and then have the Hardys completely change things up. Because the nostalgia act is certainly running out of steam.
Yeah, I mean, just like it has every other time that it's been trotted out. It's nice, but you gotta bring something new to the table. And right now, and we've talked about it a lot, but they've gotten very little mic time to try and help themselves out. And I don't think that's helped them in any way at all.
Right. Yeah. And
plus, he kind of ends up playing, he being Matt, he ends up kind of playing a tweener where you can tell that he is still acknowledging everyone saying delete in the crowd. And it's, you know, hard to miss. There's a, he even put up on Twitter a little bit earlier a picture of the delete section in the crowd this past week. So, I mean, it's out there, and the WWE isn't actively discouraging it, which, you know, it does happen from time to time, where they may steal some signs that they feel are not appropriate.
Right, yeah.
And they haven't done it with these, so, I mean, they're certainly hanging on to the gimmick, so it is kind of weird. Like, it might help the Hardys to have more mic time, but you almost want to keep them away from the mic because no one wants to hear them be the regular Hardys right now.
No. No one wants to go back to the bad promo reels. Because they weren't a good promo. Back in the day, even at their peak, they were the guys that were they were the exception to the rule that everyone who got over huge had to be a great pro.
Yeah. Although I do always remember when they went singles, loving the Matt Fax and version 2.0 there.
You know, yeah, Matt does well when he tries something different. When he's just a Hardy Boy without Jeff, it never works out for him. Whereas Jeff's, you know, his moves and his innate charisma can carry him through to, you know, being a main event level single stuff.
Yeah, he's got it a little bit easier. Well, I guess the other, and this really was both shows that they were kind of, you can tell that they are getting ready for their, own, pay-per-view schedules now here. Because Raw featured, more emphasis on, Dean Ambrose and The Miz, going back at it with, a match and then a future match already, which I kind of expected even when they announced this match earlier in the day.
Oh, well, they actually announced it a week ahead of time. But I was pretty sure that, you know, whatever the finish, they'd hit that on Monday, was going to lead to a rematch of Extreme Rules. Even if Miz had won the title, it was still going to lead to a rematch of Extreme Rules. I mean, I thought they had a good match. The finish didn't bother me. I actually like the swerve on the typical, you know, heel, gets the low blow and hits the finisher and then wins the match. You know, finish by having Ambrose catch him and then just kick Miz right in the balls, right in front of the referee. I thought, you know, that was a good finish. And
yeah.
So them having a match where the title can change hands out of disqualification on the night of Extreme, that seems a little counterintuitive, but we'll see what they do with it.
Why did I just completely forget what I had started talking about? Miz and Ambrose.
Because having a match where one of the participants has to be extra mindful of the traditional rules doesn't exactly conjure up images of the Extreme.
I would imagine that maybe there will be some additional rules tacked on to that one in the future here. We'll see. But it does play nicely into the story that they're setting up, so it's kind of hard to argue with what they're doing.
Yeah, no, it should be fine. I'm sure they'll come up with a fun match, you know, around those stipulations.
I guess I'm trying to think of all. I can't believe they gave us these back-to-back skits, and maybe this is part of the reason why I was forgetting Raw. I know that it wasn't that the R-Truth and Goldust backstage segment was earlier in the evening, and I just skipped reviewing it. But then they got a full in-ring segment. I'm like, really? This is happening? In 2017. Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Goldust turns heel, beats down R-Truth. Gets thanked for it by the fans. I'm sure they probably weren't expecting that reaction.
Yeah, I am counting on them, not expecting that reaction. I suppose we'll see how things go moving forward, because it was a dastardly, cowardly heel thing to do, so it'll take over. But I mean, I don't see where they're going to go with him much anyway.
No. It's I guess it's a one and done match, but where do you go with either of them? There's no upside to really pushing either of them as singles wrestlers. There was barely any upside to them as a tag team. There was no upside to them as a tag team.
I don't wish anyone to lose their jobs, but they certainly seem like if the WWE needed to make some cuts, they would be among them. Because wow, yeah, you want to talk about old? They make the Hardys still look young.
Right. Yeah.
And then after that, it's Apollo Crews and Titus O'Neil getting their brand over, but not really at all. Those were two really bad segments to have back to back.
Yeah.
Especially late in the show. Because I can't believe it. It was those two matches, and then the main event. So I don't know. I mean, is there a need to talk about the main event itself since we covered those two, Rollins and Wyatt earlier?
Yeah. No. There's no need to talk about the match.
And, I don't know. Is there anything else out there that I neglected to talk about?
I don't think so. I think we reviewed the Raw and SmackDown pretty good there.
Okie dokie. Bell Time Beer Review. It was Wolf's Ridge Snow Cone. Double dry hopped, and I'm trying to get to the page to see which hops they used. But it was a pretty fantastic pale ale that I got to have earlier for Columbus Beer Week. So luckily, I got there before they kicked the firkin. So good news, but it was out soon after I got there. So I got there just in the nick of time. So, I guess we got, I'm DeFrango11, he's at Chris Calamita, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you get this show. Everybody, have a good night.
Later.